So do I go?
Oh, I didn't know that part.
This is worth repeating.
Okay.
This is worth repeating.
Live storytelling from Texas Public Radio.
8 years old, 1977, pre-cell phones, pre-internet, pre-everything that makes life great today. Except birthdays. My eighth birthday, and my parents generously let me invite as many guests as I was years old. I could have 8 guests this year. So, and they said, what do you want to do? And I said, I want to have war games. And, okay, we could do that at my grandfather's farm. He's got a great big farm, retirement money from IBM, and spent it on a great big farm in the Mississippi River Valley, 3 hours away from us. That sounds great. You know, we can set up the teepee, and we can live in the teepee, and 8 of us, and have campfires and peanut butter, and we'll bring our plastic machine guns, and pistols, with plastic pistols, and bowie knives, those were not plastic, machetes, and those were not plastic, and bandoliers from our father's service, and I think they took a deep breath, and they said yes, and I invited my 8 friends, I think that was about all I had at the time, and they all agreed, and then remarkably enough, their parents agreed. To give you a little history about these kids, one of them's name was Jason Mansavage. Great name, great kid, very appropriate name. He and I were in kindergarten together. I have always been a little angel, right? And so was he, right? But for some reason, after kindergarten, we were never in the same class again. This is a small town, one elementary, one junior high, one high school. Never again we were in the same class. And then we had Nathaniel McCarrick, who he grew up to be a beast. He went and played for football for University of Florida, big redheaded guy. Then we had some really smart kids, and then there was me. So we all got in this car. 8-year-olds managed to pack a whole bunch of us into this black Delta 88, drove off 3 hours to the farm, got into the teepee, we started the fire, and we were telling each other scary stories because this was the first evening. Didn't have time to do war games yet, so we just tell scary stories. We were in the middle of a scary story when my sweet, sweet sister came in, said, hi, I just wanted to make sure everything's okay. Matt was trying to entice a mouse out of its hole with a peanut butter sandwich. And at the moment she came in, he did it, and then he flicked the mouse into the fire with his knife, and it started... not funny, horrible, but these were 8-year-old boys, and it was sort of a Lord of the Flies type of moment. She ran out of the teepee in tears and left us alone for the rest of the weekend. The next day, this was when the adventure would start. So we woke up early, and we said, because dawn raids, right? We're on war games, so we have to raid dawn. Climb up the cliffs, we're looking out over the cliffs, and M16s are the sniper rifles, and we do a whole bunch of exploring and, what do they call it, reconnoitering the territory, looking for enemies. Couldn't find any, so we decided to fight amongst ourselves. Happily with the plastic machine guns, and we would have long discussions about who hit whom first with the machine gun. Probably about 11 o'clock, we were really hungry, really hungry. 8-year-old, haven't really had a big breakfast hungry, been running and playing all day, up and down hills that we're not accustomed to. We decided, let's get some ice cream. I know a place, it's in town, which is only 10 miles away. And we can make it there, get the ice cream for lunch, and make it back. you know, how much change do we have in our pockets? You know, this was 1977, so you know, $3 was more than enough. We start hiking, and this is an 8-year-old going 10 miles in a place that he visits 10 times a year in a car, never on foot. And the turns seemed unfamiliar when you're not in the car and you're walking. The landmarks come up slower. So you're in fear. Was I supposed to turn left? Because there's supposed to be a bridge or a... I managed to make about 4 correct guesses, and then I hit the downhill into the Mississippi River Valley, and I knew, got it. Because downhill means I'm going into town. So we're hiking, and about mile 3, mile 4, you've got to use a lot of encouragement to keep these 8-year-olds going, because we've got to get the ice cream, and we've got to do the 10 miles, because we've got 10 miles to come back. Come on, Laura. Come on, Matt. Come on, Ivan. Let's go. The sun rises higher. It gets dustier. The cars are sweeping past us at 60 miles an hour, and Laura, who's probably the most out of shape of us, starts having an asthma attack, and he has to sit down. I'm like, oh, okay, you know, what do we do? I'm like, let's continue. 8-year-old baton death march. Leave him behind. He's the straggler. To his fate. Ivan, who's probably the best of us, says, you know, I'll stay behind, make sure he's okay. But Ivan stays behind. We make it all the way to the Piggly Wiggly, in the small town, in our camo, in our bandoliers, machine guns, machetes, and bowie knives. And we go in, we invade. We invade the store and discuss what kind of ice cream we're going to get. Turn out chocolate ripple. Come back. We've got one gallon of chocolate ripple ice cream. And we sit down on the sidewalk right in front of the doors of Piggly Wiggly. We whip out our knives and we dig in. And we're licking the ice cream off the knives as these nice country folk are walking by, wondering what's going on. These kids are kind of creepy. So that Black Delta 88 I was telling you about at the beginning of the story, it comes up. It drives up, and that car looks really familiar. Well, that's my dad's car. What? And he opens the door, and he says 2 words, and his face is red, so I know he's serious. Get in! All right. But we're not done. Oh, get in. Cover the ice cream. Bring it in. All of us pack ourselves in. Oh, this is really cool, because Laura and Ivan are there. And it's like, great, that's really convenient. And as we travel back, we discover how Laura and Ivan got themselves into the car. Turns out the asthma attack was actually something serious. And as an 8-year-old who didn't have asthma, I give myself a pass for not knowing how serious an asthma attack is, even though he was sort of choking and hard to breathe. Ivan had to flag down a car, and they took him to the hospital. Laura couldn't talk, so Ivan called his parents, who, as a condition of him coming on the birthday party, he had to know how to reach my parents. It's on a landline. And so his parents call my parents at the farm. And their question is, do you know where Ivan is? And the answer, of course, they're out playing on in the woods. No, he's in the Prairie du Chien General Hospital. That didn't make a big impact to an 8-year-old, but you know, as an adult with children now, I can see, you know, that was probably a little embarrassing for my parents. But they're it's my birthday. They're cool. Is it, you know, tomorrow, don't leave the farm. Just stay on the farm. If you need anything, we'll help you. Okay, cool. We'll do that. But that whole mission, that, you know, hiking in the heat, not knowing where I'm going, but completing the mission, you know, that was my origin story. Whenever I found it tough going, I would return to that story and remember, you know, the sacrifices, the physical sacrifices, the sacrifices of people, the friendships, to complete the mission. So anytime the going got tough or I had to make a tough decision, I would cast back in my memory, like, I can make it a 10-mile hike when I was 8, so I can make this happen. And it's really only been recently, you know, men take a longer time to mature, that I realized there were maybe two heroes to this story, and you know, I might have been one of them, but the other one was Ivan, who stayed behind. And I wonder if he remembers this story as well as I do, and thinks of it, but takes a very different lesson from it.